Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
One is Mark and John's the other, they're just friends, they are not lovers. It's two old queens, it's two old queens, they're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens, it's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so very excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
They're an actor, writer, and can I say, all around delight. It's Julie Brister.
Hi.
Hi, Julie.
Hello. I'm John's neighbor, and I used to live in the same house as Mark.
This is true.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's, I guess, how you could have introduced me in that way as like a neighbor to both of you.
It's a neighbor to us all. Julie, I was wondering, do you own anything that you would consider to be in bad taste?
Yes. Do you want me to go get something?
Sure.
For this audio medium? Ooh.
Oh,
go get it. Go get it. Go get it.
Yeah, I'll go get it. I'm going to go get it.
Okay, I want to know if I could think of one that you own, that I know you own. I want to know if you. Oh, not
wow,
those.
These two dolls,
those are
delightful.
Great.
Aren't they fun? They're banks. If you look on the back.
Oh, how would you describe them?
There.
Matching a cherubic woman.
I'm not finished yet. So they're banks. They're fat ladies. What? They're shitting.
Wow.
Okay, that's pretty great.
Yeah, right?
Did you get them as a pair?
No, I got them separately. One
what?
I got as a gift. And then the store that my friend got them at was closing. And we're like, let's go back and see if they have any more. And they still had one more.
If you ever find one of the benefits of being Julie's neighbor is getting to go into her place, and she always has like just the best knickknacks, like, because you're one of the best, you have the best great eye for, like,
you're a good collector,
design and art, and like I feel like you have really good taste when it comes to, especially with bad taste, like you have a good
I love good bad taste.
Thought you were going to bring up, you have, it's one of my favorite things you have, is your little statue of John John at the JFK funeral saloon. But his little hand broke.
Right, but the other one's okay. The one hand, he has the grandmother who painted it gave him red painted nails.
Oh, weird.
Right?
I guess how else would you know they were nails?
Exactly. Exactly. She thought it was a great idea. But her grandchildren said, we can't wait to get rid of this and put it in an antique store and see what we can get.
I guess, like, when it comes to with something that's bad, it should be something that, like, makes you laugh a little, but is also, like, beautifully rendered, you know?
Right. But should also almost make you feel a little embarrassed that you don't want to be caught laughing at it.
Sure.
A little bit.
Perfect. I think that's the experience of coming to my house.
It's never
disappointing. I think that's what most people
have. You don't want anyone to catch you walking in or out, but...
I had a guy come in to install 5G, the AT&T guy, and he like, it was so exciting. He was like, "Where did you get this? Where did you get this?
Oh, nice.
Where is this from? Did you get this in Mexico? Where did this come from?" It was like, "Ugh, I'm a docent in my own home. This is all I've ever wanted. This all I want is for people to quiz me about my things."
You said getting something in Mexico, and I recently picked up something in Bad Taste when I went on my cruise to Mexico, which is a saying made from license plates, where they just took a letter from different license plates, and it just says "toxic wife." There were ones that were like "party" and like, you know, like "good mom."
No, you chose the right one.
I thought so. As soon as I saw it, I was like, maybe this would be a good souvenir to give to somebody. Then I was like, I don't want to give this away. Yeah, no. This is too good. Toxic wife. Now it's in my kitchen.
Oh, I was going to say that perfect for the bathroom.
That's where I have my sleepaway camp drawing of the naked killer at the end. So there's already, nice. We're good on Bad Taste in the bathroom.
That about the feng shui of Bad Taste in your apartment.
Yeah. What do you have, John? Do you have anything? Anything spring to mind?
Nothing is springing to mind.
It's just too impeccable, all of it.
I wouldn't say that.
You do have the grease in the little jacket. Your grease
that's
DVD.
That's just like a PR thing. There's like
PR. It's PR.
I have these fur pants that when I lose 50 pounds, I can fit in a
fur.
Yeah.
What do you mean fur?
Do you not know what fur is?
Like real fur?
This from a show. Oh, fun.
America's Next Weatherman. The poster says boner metric, and it's sort of like a dick flapping in the wind.
So like a wind song kind of thing.
Exactly.
Why is that not hung on the wall?
I don't know. I'll bring it up with my husband.
Do it. I always have big dreams of like, oh, I'm going to like rotate my art on my walls. You know what I mean? I'm going to like, but then I got these goddamn plaster walls that are like a nightmare to like, you know.
Oh, you need, command strips. Yeah, they work. Yeah. Although sometimes like I have things command stripped in my bedroom and in the and in the middle of the night, inevitably, it's happened a couple of times. It'll just come crashing down. Boom! I'll wake up with a start.
Do you put it? I would never put anything above my head in bed. I would never hang anything. No. We're in California.
Right. I in my old place, I had a whole gallery wall above my bed, and it always felt like a bad idea. And here I just have a macrame thing. And I think I'll survive.
If a macrame takes
on your head.
If a macrame takes you out, you got bigger problems. That's a mercy killing, I say.
I'm not that weak.
You know, speaking of funny deaths, okay. Today it's our third Queen's Choice episode, and it's my choice. So today we're talking about pink flamingos. John, what's the deal with pink flamingos?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with pink flamingos. It was directed, written, produced, narrated, filmed, and edited by John Waters. And it is part of what he labels his trash trilogy, which also includes Female Trouble and Desperate Living. And it tells a tale of notorious Baltimore criminal and underground figure divine who goes up against a sleazy married couple who attempt to seize her tabloid-given title as of the filthiest person alive. It stars Divine, David Lockery, Mink Stole, Mary Vivian Pierce, Danny Mills, Edith Massey, Cookie Mueller, and Channing Wilroy. It was first shown on March 17, 1972 at the University of Baltimore. And according to Wikipedia, it has either grossed $7 million or $1.9 million. They don't seem to know which one, but it was a budget of $10,000. And what did the critics think? Well, who cares? Frank Rich in his review wrote, "I'm not giving a star ranking to Pink Flamingos because stars simply seem not to apply. It should be considered not as a film, but as a fact, or perhaps as an object. It has been called the most important queer film of all time, as well as being considered an important precursor to punk culture. Director Gus Van Sant called it an absolute classic piece of American cinema, right up there with Birth of a Nation, Dr. Strangelove, and Boom. John Waters had plans for a sequel titled Flamingos Forever, and Troma Entertainment was going to finance the picture, but it was never made as Divine refused to be involved, and Edith Massey had died in 1984. But in 2014, John Waters recast the film with children and rewrote the script to make it kid-friendly and called it Kitty Flamingos. The video features children wearing wigs and costumes modeled off the originals. Waters said the new version, filmed on one day with actors mostly drawn from his friends' children, is in some ways more perverse than the original. And that is the deal with Pink Flamingos.
So I chose it, but why did I choose
Mark,
it?
Mark, why did you choose Pink Flamingos?
Well, we've only done one John Waters before, mm-hmm. and that felt like a gross oversight, indeed. Emphasis on gross. So I felt, it's high time we do it. And it's one I love. I love John Waters. I think it's a perfect movie that hasn't lost any of its power. It's still like shocking. And mm-hmm. when you get to the chicken fucking scene, you're always like, this is so fucked up. Like, this is like wrong. But then like, well, it is an exercise of bad to like, it's going further than you're comfortable with, which is what's great about it. It's like, yeah, I don't think, and it didn't inspire a rash of like chicken fucking or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
I think we're fine. And also,
although a chicken did die in the filming of that scene,
but they ate it. Okay, so good. I think, you know,
no,
and also,
touché.
Yes. But you know, and also like you haven't eaten chicken lately. Like, is this any, at least it died in a great service of great art and not just being in like,
it is an
you know,
eternal chicken that's
in
true.
A McChicken sandwich. I'd rather be a dyed fucking than becoming a chicken nugget. Put that on my gravestone.
Sure.
You'd rather be a dyed fucking than.
I'd rather be a dyed fucking than a being a nugget. Yeah.
Do you remember when you first saw it?
I remember, no, it's probably been like 20 years or something, but I remember seeing it with, like, we had a really cool editing teacher in film school, and, like, he would, like, show us movies at his house, and he had, like, a nice theater space and stuff. So a bunch of us went, and I went with a sweet girl named Jin, who had never seen it before. She was, like, new to America. This was all new to her. And so I'm sitting next to her watching Pink Flamingos, and I just remember during one scene, she said, what did she say? And I just had to go back, let mommy suck your dick. That's fine. So a lot of fun memories of it still sure. hasn't lost any of its power. What about you, Julie? First time seeing Pink Flamingos?
Oh, no. I saw, the first time I saw it was like 1984, my freshman year of college. I feel like I saw it at in Hogg Auditorium at the University of Texas.
Excuse me?
Wow. Exactly.
Perfect.
And are you a fan of it, would you say?
Oh,
are you a John Waters fan?
Mm-hmm. I'm a big John Waters fan of love, not my all-time favorite, Pink Flamingos.
What's your favorite?
Female Trouble.
Sure.
But an important document, nonetheless.
Absolutely. Indeed. It's crazy how, like, Female Trouble is like, oh, this is, you could see him becoming more accessible, this yes. one, but Female Trouble is still pretty outrageous.
Right.
And Desperate Living is the one that's like the fairy tale. Like there's a part with like a
yeah.
kingdom. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, John? First time with Pink Flamingos?
No, I first saw it in high school. A friend of mine had a copy of it. I've seen it a bunch of times. Yeah, I love it. In fact, one of my cats is named after one of the characters in this movie, Crackers. the aforementioned chicken fucker and killer. I love it. I agree. It's watching it. It's still 51 years later can still shock you and surprise you and still make you go, I can't believe I'm watching this. And even though I've seen it before, for some reason, when I was rewatching it this time in the big, you know, the iconic scene where Divine eats dog shit, I found myself like retching. Like I was like physically ill, even though I'd seen it before and didn't have a problem, knew it was happening. I don't know why, but for some reason yesterday when I was watching it, I was just started getting sick, and luckily there was nothing in my stomach, so I didn't actually throw up.
Oh, you weren't like having like chocolate pudding at the same time?
No.
Alamo Draft House, there's an idea.
There you go. Chicken,
it's
for
funny.
Chicken for the main course, chocolate pudding for dessert.
It all works out.
It's funny that the dog shit, I know that he wanted to save the dog shit scene for the end, but
sure.
Shouldn't it have been in that like 15-minute birthday party montage?
It would have been lost.
Yeah.
It's because you can't heighten after. Julie, you can't heighten. Where do you go after the dog? Like, who? I think people would be shell-shocked.
Well, then you know that they really are the filthiest people alive. And you really, it's cemented. You really, it's like, well, it's obvious that. Babs is the filthiest.
I've never seen it. It would be like so fun to see in like a packed theater, like I hope like videos or something, because there's always tons of people like seeing these things for the first time.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know, so
I also think Pink Flamingos is one of those titles where everyone has heard of it but not as, but like, I don't think that many people have actually sat down and watched all of it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like
they're
everyone
missing
we know
out.
Would know the, would get the reference and would know like, oh, there's a scene with, you know, where he eats dog shit. But I think, I bet at least half of our friends probably haven't seen it. Even though
right?
like, they know what it is.
Because those it's people like the kind of movie. Mom. Yes. Or, well, Hairspray.
Hairspray, yeah. Yeah.
It's the kind of movie that you that would be on the TV in the background of a party.
Yeah. It's yeah. a vibe. Julie, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you will listen to me come up with a category. Mm-hmm. And it will be added to the wheel. What does that mean? If you don't know by now, catch up.
You'll figure it out.
Slope.
There's a wheel.
There's a wheel. There's a few wheels.
There's two.
All right, this is our current top five gayest movies ever. In fifth place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. In fourth place with a 93.21%, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. In third place with a 94.55%, But I'm a Cheerleader. In second place with a 94.75%, Zero Patience. And still number one with a 94.83% is Female Trouble.
Okay, so Mark, perfect. How well do you think Pink Flamingos is going to do?
I think we could do top 10. I think a lot of it comes down to the wheel, but top 10 feels pretty safe-ish.
Honestly, I feel like if it's less than top 5, I would be surprised. And I think
really,
a really strong shot at being at unseating Female Trouble.
I think it does have the potential to unseat Female Trouble. I really do.
I guess we'll see. I guess we just have to do it. We just have to do this. Should we just do it?
I'm just glad that Muppets Take Manhattan is out of there.
Oh, it's way.
That's been gone for years.
Years, Julie, as we just learned last week.
We were reminded of.
Where is Muppets Take Manhattan? Oh, Muppets Take Manhattan is now 78th place.
Wow.
Less gay than Armageddon and Airplane. All right. So for the first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we'll each be given a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So, Julie, what would you give Pink Flamingos on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Well, there's not a lot of like, I mean, there's like the lesbian couple who's going to adopt a baby at the beginning.
Right.
And then at the end, one of the reporters asked Divine if they're lesbian, and she says, yes, I have done everything.
Yeah. And there's also Raymond, the guy who works for the marbles.
Oh, right, right, right.
Oh, right, right, right.
And then also everybody at Babs' birthday party, at Divine's birthday party.
Right, even the Eggman has rings on every finger.
Yeah, right? There is just like, they're kind of what you think of like, oh, when someone says like, oh, they're a character. This movie is full of like gay characters. You know what I mean? Like, even if they're not playing gay characters, it's full of gay characters. Like, even right. Mr. Marble is a gay character. You know, David.
Well, I think they
David
all Lockery. Kind of exist yeah. almost outside the binary of straight and gay. Like, I can't like.
Yes, definitely David, queer, you know? Yeah.
Right, it's so confident in the fact that there are so many actors and so many people are affiliated with are gay. It's not about that, and yet it
right.
just oozes.
It's, right. it's full of it. Yeah.
So like a 1 to 100
or 0, but yeah,
or 0 if you want to be really
zero of
crazy.
Regressive.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 99.
Yeah. I'll say 97.
97. I'll go 98. We don't know about that dog.
Oh yeah. We
that
know.
Shits.
Yeah.
It's kind of poodle-esque.
Who
so
knows?
Probably gay.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, got an average of 98, which is 18 points higher than the Doom Generation, because I was able to do that math in my head.
Look at that.
Wow.
All right, our next category, gay icons. How are we doing on gay icons?
Oh, very high. I like
Divine, John Waters.
Everyone.
Divine, John
the
Waters.
Dreamland crew. The
Meek
everyone
Stole.
In the yeah.
yeah, Vincent Piranha was in it.
Who's Vincent Piranha?
He's at the party.
Well, who is
he's the set decorator.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that the
production designer.
The opening credits list everyone,
literally
even the extras. That's so cute.
They don't list Danny Mills, who played Crackers.
Why is that? Because it looks like he had some issues.
He did not want to be associated with it.
Yeah, he sort of renounced it somewhat. Yeah.
He's dead now, so we can talk about him.
We can talk about him, sure. They can't subscribe to Patreon in hell or heaven.
Would it be too much if I said 100? Because I feel like Divine and John Waters alone.
The movie itself.
Yes, like it's a 100. It is an icon's icon.
It's absolutely 100 and for me as well, because it's like, again, like even if you haven't seen the movie, everyone knows the movie. If you think of Divine, Pink Flamingos is the one, you know, like John Waters and Divine, this is the first title you think of. So it's definitely 100.
I also will give it 100. Have either of you ever been to Baltimore?
Oh, yes. My ex-husband is from the Baltimore area.
Oh.
Any takeaways? Not on your ex-husband. We'll save that for another podcast.
He's... I love Baltimore, and I love crabs and crab cakes, and love the city itself. It's fun. It's real fun.
Seems great.
I haven't been in a while. It was funny, like watching this. It was like where they have the trailer. Man, it looks so gross. Like the ground, like just
the woods, like
the landscape and everything. And I'm like,
but you look. The Blu-ray I had has like a special feature where John Waters goes to visit, like he's revisiting the locations now, like, you know, 50 years later. And the side of the trailer is now like the front lawn of this like essential mansion. Like that whole area has been like, but he like talks to he meets the couple who like this older couple who live there now. They try to figure out exactly where the trailer could have been.
Oh, how funny. Because
I guess the burned wreckage just stayed there for years.
Sure. I mean, there was no budget to clean that up.
But then that whole area has been like now it's all been developed now. The woods are still there, but it is just like full of like these McMansions now.
Oh, that's hilarious.
All right. Our next category, the queer gaze. How much of this movie would you say was shot through a queer lens?
All of it?
Yeah, I would say so. Definitely fuck the world kind of energy, the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
The writing.
Yeah.
All the characters, everything, how everyone looks.
I love the scene. Like, I don't know if you could say that a camera setup is gay, but where...
You absolutely can.
Where the marbles are in the foreground and Raymond is imitating both of them.
Oh, yeah.
And, her expression, just everything about that is just like gay.
Who, I've been waiting to ask you, Julie, what Manson girl do they have a framed photo of?
That's Sexy Sadie. That's Susan Atkins.
I knew you would know. Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you for knowing I know.
I was like, I tried scrolling through like the IMDb trivia and it was just like too long. And I was just like, you know what? Julie will know.
Not in there.
Yeah.
This is easy. Thank you, Julie. What are you doing? Queer gaze? Yeah. 100, right?
Oh, yeah. 100?
Oh, well, you don't have to. I was just saying that.
I will say 100 as well. I mean, it's all through John Waters.
Yeah. I too will give it 100. Giving it 100. All right. Next one. The Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence?
Oh, this is what a great addition to the questions. It would really be above 100, but if 100 is as high as it can go, then I'm going to say 100. Sure. Like, he would find, like, even the scenes that are, like, not sexual or even with the volume down, I don't think he could handle it.
I don't think he could last 5 minutes of this movie.
You don't think he's a big fan of, like, 16mm film stock?
No.
No.
He's 35.
Not at all. Oh, Left Behind. If Left Behind was shot on 16, I don't
beautiful
know.
Beautiful cinematography in Left Behind. Have you guys ever seen the Omega Code 2 Megiddo?
I have not. What's that?
No.
It's a Christian apocalypse action movie that's, get this, ridiculous. Huh. Anyways, it's probably on YouTube.
Oh, let me write it down.
Yeah. We feel like a fun, bad watch. You know, I recommend sometimes Christian apocalyptic films are pretty funny. John, what do you think for the Mike Pence anxiety?
Oh, 100.
Really?
I can't get through any of this.
I also will give it 100. Giving it 100, which is the highest we've had since we've done version 9.0. Higher
it would be a real treat if somebody forced Mike Pence, if they tied him down and clockwork oranged his eyes open.
And it's made, in the Library of Congress, you know. There you go.
And it's Criterion.
Yeah. Which would you rather be, in the Library of Congress or the Criterion Collection?
Oh, the Criterion Collection.
Criterion.
I don't know. Library of Congress is pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it is cool.
I mean, they don't put out Blu-rays with special features with cool packaging and exquisite.
But then you have to do you have to do competition with like photographs and other media.
Mr. Rogers' sweater of all things. God, get me out of here. All right. Our next category. Hell on Heels. How we doing on Feisty Ladies?
100.
That's mostly.
It's the whole movie is Cotton is feisty. Edie is feisty.
One of my favorite ones is that pregnant woman in the basement who's just like, "You're disgusting. I can't look at you. Oh my God. I'm going to puke." Like, I love, like, she could just turn away, I guess, but she just wants to stand there screaming at. It's so funny.
Elizabeth Coffey, the transsexual, she's feisty.
Yeah,
like,
great.
It's full of feist.
Yeah.
I'll also go 100.
I too will go 100, doing very well so far. Tying it with Valley of the Dolls and Hell on Heels.
Ooh.
All right, our next one. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Pink Flamingos and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Yes.
I mean, divine. Yeah.
It's constant.
This may be a controversial take, but the most famous drag queen in the world, even though she's been dead for many, many years, I think, would you say that Divine is the most famous drag queen in the world? RuPaul is close, but
I think you could have a debate of the two of them, but I also feel like they're both on the Mount Rushmore.
Yes. Yes.
Divine is probably maybe the most influential. Well, maybe not. I mean, RuPaul's brought so many people. How many people have been on that show?
And made it sort of more palatable.
Look, you can't have one with it's a chain. Why do we need to pit these ladies against each other?
You know,
what is happening?
What is best? What is best?
There's only one. Room for one. The one look I really liked was when Connie's like in her white brief, when the shrimping scene with Connie's in her white briefs with her like hair like pulled back really tight, like she looks really cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. And I mean, I love David Lockery's hair, even though he's not a drag queen, but that hair is amazing.
Yeah,
especially that he did his pubes in that scene. I was like, carpet underwear, and then you're like, oh no.
Apparently he did that with magic marker.
That's commitment.
That's good. On your long hair, doing it, please. Mm-hmm.
Well, when your budget's $10,000.
Supposedly he and Divine met in beauty school.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Which makes a lot of sense with the hair. Did I say a number?
No.
100. Drag queen inspiration.
I too will give it 100. Finally, the last of the canon categories. Julie, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Pink Flamingos to a gay person?
Oh, 100.
Yeah.
I feel like you're not really gay until you've seen Pink Flamingos. Is that a controversial take?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I will also give it 100. You've got to see Pink Flamingos.
It's still shocking. Essential viewing. Look at what we're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when people I'm a fan of the Jackass films, but even watching those, you're just always like, this is nothing.
Right.
You know, you see people being shocked, even like at Borat, you're still like, this doesn't have a singing asshole.
No.
And I'm not talking about Seth MacFarlane. All right. That's it. Oh, wait. That's it for the canon category. So where is Pink Flamingos right now in the overall ranking? I answer. It has a 34.90%. It's in 186th place right now. Not as gay as Submarine, but gayer than Jupiter Ascending.
Mm.
All right.
Well on its way. All right. Now we are into the wheel category.
Spinning wheel. Spinning through.
These categories are categories previous guests, such as yourself, have brought in. We put them all in this wheel, which is an app on my phone. We're going to spin it once, whatever category pops up we'll use. Then, Julie, you and I will pick a category from the wheel to judge the movie. Then we have a listener wheel we're going to spin. And then finally, Mark will come up with a category which we will use to judge this movie and add to the wheel, potentially use to judge all future movies. Make sense? Here we go.
Yes.
Spelled
Felt.
The Muppets Take Manhattan category.
Rearing its ugly head.
It's because I dissed the Muppets.
You summoned
it. I really did it. Felt, you know, I think with the production design, you know that there's a lot of felt in there.
There's felt in there somewhere.
There is a felt underneath those seat cushions and the sofa and in the chair that reject the marbles. There is probably felt in the basement. There's probably black felt to so those. No, they're the girls are actually wearing shoes, but you know
Thank
that
you.
They're God fucking felt. Now, if we use it
like a verb, like were you felt emotionally? You were
right?
moved. Yeah,
right.
I was deeply felt.
There's a lot of sex in this movie. There's a lot of there's a lot of feelings. Yeah. There's a lot of
there's a lot of passion felt. With chickens and very gonzo thing.
So I don't know, like 95?
Julie.
you
want to say 95?
No. I'll say like this is so not a felt movie, you know, a literal felt movie. So 70?
70.
Yeah, I was going to go, I'm going to go 55.
55. But there isn't really a lot of felt, unfortunately.
We don't know that.
I think there is.
Exactly. We don't know. I can only give it on what I'll give it a 30.
Okay.
Okay.
Giving it a 51.67. All right. Now it's hosts. Your choice.
Okay.
You two.
So there are a lot of categories that we have that could fit, but in going through them all, I want to choose one. I think we should choose a recent category from Zero Patience. And the category is this happening? And I think the fact that 51 years later, we can watch this movie and still be shocked and still cannot believe what we are seeing, from singing assholes to eating dog shit to chicken fucking to all the sex. It is constant. It has not lost its power. There's nothing about it where like, well, today it doesn't seem as shocking. It is still has the power. So for me, I think Is This Happening is the perfect category for this movie.
Literally what you think during the blowjob scene. You're like, wait, is this really a blowjob? Oh, it is a real blowjob.
Oh, it is real
blowjob.
That
is the one thing that John Waters says he regrets filming.
Yeah, I saw that he really regretted that.
Like, he just didn't need it, I guess.
Well, he was like, because they were friends, and I guess like, yeah, I guess it would be weird if either a friend blew me or I had to blow a friend for a movie, like give a friend a blowjob for a movie. Like, that would be weird.
Yeah. And it was like at the height of Deep Throat.
Born was cool. Time.
Yeah. I think that's a great category, you know, and you listed all the things or like, is this happening? We didn't even talk about eggs.
No.
And
wonderful.
Yeah,
Edith Massey.
Just bananas, that character and everything.
I love how Edith Massey is then seeing this and then seeing Edith Massey in Polyester. Where she's now the refined, which Enchanté. It's like my favorite.
What range?
Yeah. Perfectly.
And also in Female Trouble.
Yeah. She's a dreamlady.
Yeah.
She is a star's star. Are we looking for a number? 100.
I will also give it 100.
I too will give it 100. Given an average, is this happening? Now it's time for the listener category.
So this is another wheel of categories listeners have submitted. And so here we go.
Made in adversity.
Oh,
Made in adversity. This comes from Sebastian the Fap. Thank you, Sebastian the Fap. And they say, how controversial was the film for its time? Did the film face any obstacles in production or release due to its content? Was the film ever censored or banned? I think yes to all of that.
Yes to all of it. And also, you know, in reading the Wikipedia stuff, it's like John Waters, they filmed on the weekends and John Waters spent the week raising money so they could film on the weekends. So like it was a constant state of like trying to catch up. Not quite adversity, but sort of like always chasing it and always running.
Also, everyone was on drugs. everyone was, except for maybe Edith Massey, everybody was like fucked up on drugs. So like, I think it's really hard to make a movie when you, not the most reliable, like a cast and crew.
Sure.
100.
100.
Yeah, I'll also give it 100.
Is it still banned anywhere, I wonder?
I would assume.
I think it's been edited a few places, but I think they also stopped doing that.
All right, now it's time. Mark.
What did you want to give it?
Did you say 100?
I said 100.
I cut you off. I apologize. This is always my fear with podcasts.
I mean, it happens all the time. Nobody cares.
I know. Oh, please don't.
I'll edit it out. Don't worry about it.
How dare you talk over me on my own podcast? This shall not stand. All right, now it's time for
you to come up with a category, Mark, that we can use to judge this movie and potentially all future movies when it gets added to the wheel.
All right. I thought of something.
Okay, good.
This is an element of, I would say, being queer generally. And I think of the film itself and its transgressiveness.
Oh, transgressiveness.
Transgressive and involving a violation of moral or social boundaries. And I would say this movie has that in spades.
Kill everyone now. Condone first-degree murder. Advocate cannibalism. Eat shit. Filth are my politics.
Julie is doing that off the top of her head, ladies and gentlemen. She has no script in front of her.
Her eyes just rolled back into her head. She was levitating a foot off the ground. Her oven is on fire. Now she's spinning. Julie.
100.
100.
I will also give it 100 in transgressiveness.
Given it, I too will give it 100. We did it. All right, let's see where it is now. Now that the wheel categories are done, where have we gone? All right, now it is up to, it's got a 52.48%. It's in 133rd place now. Not as gay as Scream, but gayer than Alien Covenant. So it's climbing up the rank. Now we are into the bonus categories.
So these categories, as the name implies, are bonus. So if it doesn't do well, it doesn't work against it, but it doesn't help. So it's just going to be 0 to 10, and it'll be that percentage bonus points that it gets.
All right, the first one, musical potential. Could you see a musical being made out of Pink Flamingos?
See, I think to me, this is where it sort of falls short, just because I feel like what is so exciting and wonderful about Pink Flamingos, I don't think you could really pull off in a musical.
I do. I think you could. I would disagree. I think you could, maybe not in a Broadway musical, but
like
I think
there's
a stage
musical. You mean a movie musical?
A rivalry for the filthiest people alive feels like a great.
Right. The stakes are high.
Yes, yeah. But I don't think you can improve. Like, ideally, if you want to adapt something, you want to like improve upon it or like give it more. And I don't think you would.
Didn't hurt Sunset Boulevard.
Also, I don't know. Like, the music in the movie is so.
Distinct.
Like, it's so distinct. It's so
But I also just feel like if someone said they're doing a musical of Pink Flamingos, I would be like, why?
Yeah,
that to me. I feel like
I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just saying you could do it.
I feel that way about
you know, when we got this new system of like being a little more stern with musical potential, because you could make a musical out of anything.
Yeah, like I kind of feel that way about Hairspray. Like the Hairspray musical doesn't interest me at all. The original movie is so much better. But I can see why somebody was like, this is a great idea for a musical. Right. But I agree with you, John, that it has a little potential like for a stage musical at the UCB theater.
Yeah, like a black box kind of thing. Like, it should almost be, like, under a bridge or in an alley or something. You know what I mean? It should be, like...
Yeah, absolutely.
It should be out in the woods in Maryland. Then
you're not going to be more... Yeah. You're not going to, you know, heighten from, like, chicken fucking or...
Well, I think you don't try. You know what I mean?
Then why are you making a musical of it?
Because I like the idea to me that was funny is the rivalry between people wanting to be the filthiest person alive. I think there is something inherently there that you could do a take on that doesn't have to be... It could be its own thing. Because I think that... And the story, however it is funny, I think. I agree. I'm not saying this is a slam dunk idea. I just think like that. Has there been like a musical that like depicts like rivalries, like two people, like a rival between
Wicked?
Yeah. But like two individual Wicked like rivalry.
Yeah. War Paint about the two makeup ladies. There's a bunch. Yeah. Most musicals have some sort of rivalry or some sort of conflict happening.
Sorry. I didn't realize it was a stupid question.
Gypsy. This is 1 to 10, right? I'm going to say 5.
Mainly
for the Hollywood Fringe potential.
A 40-minute version.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say 1, unfortunately.
1. I'm going to say 5. Giving it an average of 3.67. All right, our next one. Confusing to straight people. Do you think Pink Flamingos would be confusing to straight people?
Yeah.
I think so. It's taking everything they hold precious.
I guess it, like if we're thinking of the most basic, you know, dolt from Kansas, you know, who like, yes, this would be like a 10. But for like the average straight person in Los Angeles, I think they'd be 5.
Sure.
I think,
is that the
I
two
think
polarity?
Follow right along.
It's either
yes,
Kansas
it's Kansas or Los Angeles. Don't you know how elections work?
What's the matter with Kansas? They haven't embraced Pink Flamingos.
My mother hates Kansas. So I'm going to say Kansas or Oklahoma, like the two states
she
hates
Kansas
the most.
What did Kansas do to your mother?
Outside of The Wizard of Oz, she's just like Kansas people. My mom does not like many people, but yeah, she holds some ire for Kansas.
How does she she ever weigh in on Los Angeles or New Yorkers?
Oh, she like loves New York and she's fine with LA. She likes Hollywood things. Yeah, she's okay, but yeah, she lived spent summers in New York when she was a kid, so she loved New York. I would say like maybe for the straight people who aren't like a 7.
7.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'll say 7 as well.
7. I'll go 8. Just because I think they might be wondering why they're watching a movie where someone eats dog shit.
I think the chicken fucking is weirder.
Name one weird thing about that scene.
They're laughing.
That's it. Mm-hmm. The poor lighting of giving it a 7.33. All right, next one. Could Divine play a role in this?
10.
A 10, absolutely.
Yeah, 10. I mean, I was thinking about like, oh, we probably like this sort of like in musical potential where like if something is a musical, we sort of adjust the category. I was thinking, should we do that with this category? But then I thought, any way we adjust this, the answer is going to be 10. So it doesn't matter. So,
right. Yeah. And the fact that the Divine is in something should give it a boost, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll also give it a 10. Give an average of 10. Do we need to watch Lust in the Dust?
Oh, it's so bad.
So forget it then.
Yeah. Have you never seen that?
That's the third part of the Trash Trilogy.
I used to watch, I think I've seen like parts of Lust in the Dust because I was like, I was fascinated by it as like a kid. Like, what is this?
I know what dust is.
Like, I'm not used to seeing women that look like this in lead roles in Westerns. What is this?
Right, because it's her and it's Lainey Kazan.
Lainey Kazan, yeah. So
it's just, I saw that in either high school or college and was not impressed.
In between your clove cigarette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
I'm sure you were smoking cloves throughout.
Yeah, my jarums.
Oh, elevated. We used to hear that cloves had like fiberglass in them.
That sounds like some California horse shit that you were fed right there.
I'm sure. So you're saying they're perfectly clean and healthy.
Yes.
And nothing artificial in there.
They're like, is there even any tobacco in them? Yeah, they're totally. If I had to smoke now, I'd probably smoke a clove.
You got to. And then listen to like The Cure or something.
Oh, Christian Death.
Christian Death. Mm.
That was my favorite.
All right.
Well, The Cure.
Sure. Our next category, first gay kiss. Is there a first gay kiss in this? Well, there is, I would say, the chicken fucking scene is an example of doing something outside your comfort zone.
Okay, yes. For what was her name? Not Cracker. The Cotton?
Cookie?
Cookie.
Oh, Cookie Mueller.
There's also something first gay kissy about the...
The lesbians don't.
And that's really not their first gay kiss.
No.
Not if they're
this might be a lot of people's first gay blowjob they ever saw.
Yeah.
Like, technically it is. Like, if, you know, remove the characters out of it, it is a gay blowjob, you know.
Sure.
Right. Mother is kissing her son's penis.
Yeah.
That's true.
A divine act.
Was it the first time, do we think?
Not for either of them, but it might be the first one you've seen as an audience member.
Right. Is that what the category implies? That it's
it could.
Like, for, okay.
I think it's the purest open-ended version of the category is that two gay people kiss for the, or so one gay person kisses.
That's
for
what
the first
I would
time.
Assume.
Yes.
I would say a four. Because there's so many other things. It's like just for the blowjob.
Yeah. There's not even a lot of kissing in this movie.
Not a lot of romance.
No. I'll give it a two.
Two. I'll give it a three. Giving it
two,
an average
three,
up?
Four.
Three. All right, our next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Dead silence.
I tried to look up the lesbians, but I couldn't.
Merle the lesbian, played by Jackie Seidel, who was a hairdresser at Cosmic Scissors in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the reporters, what their sexual preferences are.
Sure. But it's also, like we said earlier, like there's clearly gay characters, gay actors, and this is chock full of them.
I would say a six.
They feel like they're all being like authentically, you know, it doesn't feel like they're putting something on, you know what I mean?
No.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go like seven.
Really? I'm going to give it a 10.
Because
even like the role of Bab Zonchin / Divine is like a gay role because it had to be played by a drag queen. You know what I mean? So that is like a gay role to me. So I'm giving it a 10. Maybe I'm crazy.
No.
Okay.
Giving it a 7.67. All right, that's it for the bonus categories. Now we're into the iconic categories.
Categories are wider, more broad reaching, so it's 0 to 300.
Zero to three. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. I feel like I should go to my closet and get a boa.
How would you pick which one?
I'd probably reach for the one that has glitter in it.
Oh,
I can't. It's in a box. We're not doing it.
Oh, then you got my cleaning up that glitter. Forget it.
No,
not for a podcast. No,
no, you'll be back with glitter for days.
Well, tell everyone you're wearing it. It's fine.
Thank you.
This might be sacrilege, but sometimes I feel like glitter is more trouble than it's worth.
Really is sacrilege. I say this, so I'm looking at my glitter clown painting that I just get glitter literally all over John's house when I made it.
Well, as long as it's for a good cause.
Yeah.
All right. The first category, what do you want to give Pink Flamingos on a scale of 0 to 300 in homoeroticism? How homoerotic is Pink Flamingos?
That's funny because I don't think there's a lot of fucking in this movie. And
but it's not at all erotic. I was thinking while watching it.
It's more cheeky.
Literally. Like
literally.
Yeah.
When Channing's like masturbating, we're just looking at his ass.
Yeah. Which is lovely.
Yeah. And you do see an asshole, if that's your thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You really see an asshole.
You see an asshole.
Everything you ever wanted to see about an asshole, you see. That guy is very talented. I'd never seen a raspberry with an asshole. So that was like really impressive.
200?
200.
Because somebody got hard watching this movie.
Not the actors, but yeah.
Yeah. But
there's that one guy rubbing himself at the party. He probably got hard.
True. The guy with the hot dogs. I'm going to have to go 150.
150. Yeah, this is a tough one. I'll give it, though, because there is like a, it is like campy, obviously, and not like erotic, but there is like a queer sexual charge to it all. But not necessarily for erotic purposes, but there is like a queer sexual energy to
you
all
know what
of it.
I think what it is is like, because they are obviously probably on a ton of speed. And so it's just like, no, like it's not, it's like energized, it's like frantic, but it's not like sexy energy.
Right. I'll give it 178. Giving an average of 176. All right. The next one, Queer 101. How much of this would you say this movie is an essential queer text?
Oh, 300?
Yeah. I'm also going to go 300. It's
deeply essential.
The part I always like, when like Divine is just like, she's like left the house and like she's strutting down the street and everyone's just like, real people are just like looking at her fascinated. And like, there is something like, and she's just like so confident, so powerful. And like that scene is like, I find like genuinely moving in a way. But then I love that it's followed up with her taking a dump in a front lawn. Cause like that is like quintessential John Waters. I feel like there is something like some genuine like emotion, like, wow, this is like powerful. Then like, oh, then it's like, there. Oh, don't forget she's fucking trash. You know? So I love that about Pink Flamingos. Yeah, I'll give it a 300. Finally, the last of the iconic categories, Camp Factor. How campy is Pink Flamingos?
Like, this is why straight men, you know, like, don't like John Waters movies. It's because they have no grasp or appreciation of camp, or not all of them, but like, as largely, they do not. And this is the campiest movie. Like, all of his movies are just sheer camp. 300. Like, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm giving it a 300 too. It's just so like outside of any realm of reality that it just exists in this camp space. And that, yeah, I mean, like if my father had to try and watch this movie, he would not understand it whatsoever. And he does not get camp.
Even with you as a son?
Oh, especially with me as a son.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My dad, he turned it off during the chicken scene. Like he stopped watching during, I remember bringing it home and he stopped watching during the chicken scene. He went to his room.
Sure.
Were you thinking like he's going to love this?
No, I rented it. I had gone home to Dallas and I'd rented it to watch with a friend because who had never seen it. And my dad came in and started watching and he was like, goodbye. Walked out of the room. My mother saw Polyester before I did.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Because it was on television.
Oh.
Okay.
That's a fun one.
Did she recommend it to you?
She loved it.
Yeah. Polyester's great.
Yeah.
Polyester's so fun for the whole family. I mean, there is like the weird fetish son, Footstomp, but he gets redeemed towards the end. The family is saved.
He does.
There you go.
The family unit is preserved.
And Tab Hunter.
Yeah, I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. An egg lady waiting on the Eggman. A commemorative plate that says, God bless our mobile home. Two jealous perverts. A little glass full of cigarettes. There are two kinds of people. My kind of people and assholes. Gleefully running a jogger off the road. Rudely teasing a veteran. Graffiti asking to free Tex Watson. Shoplifting steak by hiding it between your legs. Bologna sandwiches. Getting really stoked by the prospect of sending a turd by mail. Loving someone more than your hair color. Barbecuing in a bra. Harassing a mailman. Fake vomit. A direct attack on divinity, getting a pig's head as a gift, killing and eating cops at the same birthday party where you did poppers, a pervert meeting their match, licking furniture as an act of revenge, preparing to receive the most divine gift a mother can give, setting fire to a trailer, getting rejected by a couch, give me more questions, being convicted of assholism, and finally, the filthiest people alive moving to Boise. I'm giving it a 300.
Isn't it amazing how long that, like, the camera stays on the fire for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like it's like 2 minutes of just like hissing and crackling and 300.
300's across the board.
300. All right. Finally, we're into the crown jewels.
All right. So these categories we don't rate. We just say yes or no.
Oh.
All right, the first one, a 50% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Pink Flamingos have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
Yes.
I say yes, because as a piece of queer art made by a queer person, it's great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
So it gets the bonus. Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie The Whale.
It is not the movie The Whale, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
Excellent. All right, that's it. We're done.
So Mark knows the answer, but Julie, now that we've been through it all, how well do you think it did?
I think it did really well. I think the iconic category will have moved it up the ranks.
Yeah,
despite the wheel's aggravations.
I think the wheel, for the most part, though, was good to it.
Felt.
Yeah, but all the other ones were great.
Felt was rough, but like everything else was pretty good.
Felt rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, Muppets Take Manhattan. I think it has a good chance to be number one, but it's definitely within the top five. There's so many hundreds or 300s in
right.
this.
Yeah.
Well, Mark,
I've known for a minute, so I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 3,490.96, Pink Flamingos has scored 3,316.63, giving a percentage of 95.01, making it the gayest movie ever.
Yay!
Gayer than Female Trouble, which is... We did it. That felt really like through, you know, that could have been.
It was good. We needed that sort of tension.
Some drama.
Yeah, we needed that. And I think it sort of is sort of poetic that it was a Muppets Take Manhattan category.
But then like the wheel, you know, the felt wheel let us low. But then the listener wheel came through.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you, Sebastian Lefebvre. You really saved the day.
Mark, how do you feel?
Great. You just never know. So I didn't want to, you know what I mean? Because I feel like there were more I don't know what I was thinking. I was just like, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be number one. I don't want to get my hopes up. If it is, great. It deserves to be somewhere in the top 10 or five. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, honestly, while watching it last night, I kind of stopped taking notes, especially in the iconic categories, because I was like, yeah, Mike Pence anxiety scale, 100. Like all of them. I was just like, I would have been astounded if it was not in the top five. Like if it was not in the top five, I would have like been like, we need to do this again.
What would you have done?
I don't know. I would have canceled the podcast. I would have pretended that somehow the recording didn't work and we had to do it again, and I would have changed my scores.
Nefarious.
Perfect. And then you would have taken the felt category out.
Never.
But it was my fault because I summoned it.
It's okay.
We have merch based off it. We can't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
We do have merch based, and we should say felt is a process.
It is. It's part of this process.
It is. There you go. Mm-hmm. It's even more true now.
Yes.
Julie,
we did
always
it.
A delight.
Such a treat and
talk
a delight.
With
so
you.
Great to have you in this iconic episode.
An
Thank
icon.
You. Thank you.
For an icon.
Indeed.
Oh, how kind. How kind. Just you saying that, I know that my COVID will have gone away by tomorrow.
All you needed was good vibes, man.
That's it. That's what saved me.
Julie, is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
I'm not allowed to.
Well, anything. It could be anything.
Yeah, like if you're not watching Justified City Primeval, you're really missing out.
And you're not in that, so you're not promoting your own thing.
I'm not in it, but it's in the can. Oh, God, is this bad that I'm telling you to watch it?
No.
It's two Elmore Leonard universes married together. It's really great.
And how do we watch it?
Oh, on Hulu. Hulu or FX.
You're not on your free TV.biz or something?
Well, you could watch it there too. But
A lot of commercials.
I have Hulu commercial free because like I'll go without
fancy.
Food before I have to sit through commercials.
Julie is who I go to for serial killer info and how to pirate television.
Oh, nice.
Don't let everybody know.
It's fine.
I don't do it as much as I used to.
I know. You're slowing down.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I am slowing down. I do it mostly for British television.
Well, you got to then. What are you supposed to do?
Get
BritBox?
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
getting BritBox. Get out of here.
I had BritBox for like 2 months. And then I was like, what am I doing?
How many mystery shows do you need?
Yeah, and that's what it mostly is, like pretty lame mysteries. Just, lots of, like, 28 or maybe even more, like 45 seasons of Midsummer Mysteries.
I've never seen, I was flipping, they're on Pluto, Midsummer. There's like a whole channel for Midsummer Murders.
I believe it.
It looks like the most boring show alive. I don't get it.
That is, like, my mom has dementia, and she
wrote it?
She wrote it.
One over
she,
and over again.
Watches it's new episodes, but I'll talk to her after it's over and say, what happened? And she's like, I don't know. Like she's
there was a garden. I don't know.
Honestly,
it's already gone. You know?
That's how that's what procedural means.
No, really. Yeah.
She likes John Nettles, you know. So.
Who's that?
The star. He was the star for a long time. He's not on anymore. But he figures into Black Mirror, into this last season of Black Mirror, and what I think is the best episode. There's like a John Nettles thing.
Great. Well, everyone check out that episode of Black Mirror with John Nettles.
You can follow
us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, TW Old Queens, or follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, you can email us at Two Old Queens, TW Old Queens at gmail.com. Let us know if you thought if we got anything wrong. We love hearing from you.
We also got merch. Belt is a process tee or phone case. Go to tpublic.com/twooldqueens, where a portion of the proceeds go to the Ochre Project. So you're not just helping us, you're helping others.
That's right.
And that's it. Next week is our fourth, but not final, Queen's Choice. Two more Queen's Choice episodes coming up.
Five Wednesdays this month.
Five Wednesdays. but that's it for us. We'll see you next time, everybody. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Bye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.